Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer for our service. And God to have his way. Lord Jesus, we ask you today that you would lay your hand upon this sanctuary, these people, your children, Lord God, that you would bless them today with the word. God, but you lead them closer to your resurrection power today, Lord. And you would reveal to them things they had not known about you today, Jesus. We ask you, God, that anyone who's come today sick or in need or in financial need, oh God, or whatever needs that they might have in their life, oh God, that they would turn to you today to bless them and to heal their bodies, Lord God, to help them out of the situations, oh God, that they are struggling with. And we just give you all the praise today, all the glory and all the honor, God, for you're worthy to be praised in Jesus' name. You may be seated. We just want to welcome all of our guests here today at Calvary Gospel Church. We're so happy that you're here today. If you came through those front doors, you've seen that there's a little desk, a kiosk back there, and there's some ushers and some greeters. They would like to get a little bit of information from you. So if you could stop by that kiosk and give them that information, that'd be great. We just want to know who you are and see if you'd like to learn more about the Bible or if you have any prayer needs or any other things that are a need in your life. If you could just meet one of those people, that would be very helpful. Now, if you're visiting online, you're not here with us today, but you're watching our services online, you can do that same thing by visiting the bit.ly link at the bottom of the screen that you see on the live stream right now. bit.ly/connect to CG. Amen. And so there are a few things that you can do today as far as giving. You can give online. You can give in person in the little kiosk. There's a little clear box on the top. You can drop a check or cash into that. You can also give by mail if you want to mail in an offering at any time. You can also give on the mobile giving app, our church center app. And if you want to get that app on your phone, just see any one of our pastors. Or you can see myself or Brother Phil or anyone, and we can help you get that onto your phone today so you can keep up with all the things happening at our church, but also give online at any time that you wish. Amen. But we've got a couple of announcements. Next Sunday, April 16th, is a men's ministry service and grill out. Woo! I'm ready to grill. Amen. I've had a long winter. And I'm ready to grill some meat. And so if you want to be a part of that, if you're a man, you can just join us at Pastor Roy's house. The service will be at 6 p.m. And we are asking every man to bring their own lawn chair or some type of chair and bring some meat to grill on the grill. And if you have any questions or you need some directions, if you need to just take a snapshot, you can take a snapshot with your phone of that address. Some of these signs are hanging on the doors or in the bathrooms. You can grab that address there as well if you've never been to Pastor Roy's. But you can come and see me if you have any other questions, and we're excited to have our first grill out of the season. Amen. At this time, we have a special song. If the sign team, if you guys could make your way up here.
Thank you. Really quick, I wanted to say, feel free to worship with us as we sing today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
As we transition into the remainder of this worship service, there's already such a sweet presence of God here. I just want to give a little background or insight, I guess, into the worship set this morning. I put together the set list probably about 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't until the last day or two as I was listening to the songs over and over again to prepare for today that I realized the songs tell a bit of a story. And in some ways, it might be a bit of a backward story. But today, we're going to start out with the song Glorious Day, which talks about coming out of a grave. But like Pastor Jerry referenced in Sunday school today, the resurrection isn't just a Jesus story. It's an us story. And in Glorious Day, it talks about us coming out of the grave. And it's because Jesus came out of the grave 2,000 years ago that we are able to walk out of our proverbial graves today. And If he hadn't gone to that cross, died for us, rose again, we wouldn't be able to feel and experience his presence the way that we do today. We'd still be going to a priest, offering up burnt offerings, pushing our sins out another year, knowing they're still hanging over our heads. We'd have to watch a priest go into the Holy of Holies and him alone get to experience the presence of God. So yes, today is a glorious day because I'm no longer a slave to sin. Which brings us to our second song called Inheritance. This is a new song. I didn't plan on doing a new song this year, but I couldn't get away from it. When somebody passes away, they leave their belongings to their closest family and friends, and that's called an inheritance, right? Well, when Jesus died, he left us an inheritance. And this last week, as I've been reading through my devotional, reading through Holy Week, every day, Jesus is talking to his disciples, preparing them that he's leaving, he's going to die. They don't understand it, but every single day that I've been reading, I see just one more thing that he's telling him that he's going to leave with them as an inheritance. He says he will go away, but he would send his Spirit, which would be a comforter. It would be a counselor. It would be peace. It would be by his stripes that he would bore, that we would be healed. Our healing is an inheritance. We would be able to receive forgiveness of sins. Like I said, no more need for burnt offerings. No more need for a priest to go and be the middleman for you. You can get forgiveness of sins. We now have victory over death, hell, and the grave. That is part of our inheritance. We are no longer slaves to sin. He gave us redemption, a new life, a second chance. And of course, the greatest gift of them all, he gave us the plan of salvation. That brings us to our third and final song that we will sing today, Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood. After thinking about all of these things that we have gained as an inheritance through his death, I can't help but say, Thank You, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank You, Jesus, for washing me white. Thank You, Jesus, for saving my soul. And as we enter into worship today, my hope is that you will go on this journey with us, that you will go through this story, and that you will rejoice in the freedom that we have today, that we can come out of our graves, and that you will thank God for the salvation that we have because of what he did 2,000 years ago and the inheritance he passed on to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Worship with us today as we sing.
It was my tomb.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I needed a rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. I needed a rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory.
You're the strength.
I needed shelter. I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you call my name,
I ran out of that grave. Don't withhold.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. It is just such an honor to be here. We have some happy campers in the place today letting us know. But you can be seated this morning. I would like to welcome all of you to this Easter Sunday service. I know Brother Jerry welcomed all of you, but as pastor, Sister Lois, my wife and I, we just want to welcome you here. It's so great to see all of you. A couple ways you can get involved or be born into this church. People say, well, how do I become a member here? Well, you can be born into the church physically, and you're born into the church spiritually. And so you have a spiritual birth, or you can have a physical birth. And occasionally that happens. We have a lot of young couples here and a lot of young families. And April 4th, we had born into Calvary Gospel Church via the man's family, Knops, Josh and Jenny. We have little Ivy Manns, born April 5th, 5 pounds, 10 ounces, 20 inches long. She and mom are both healthy, and mom and dad are, as expected, very much in love with this little bundle of joy. Right now, they have all kinds of patience. They're all excited. And then life settles in. And all of you that have two-year-olds know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you that have three-year-olds or have had four, five, six, we were at Neeson's, Nate and Lauren's, a little while ago, having a very nice dinner. And it was about 8 o'clock. Little Wesley crawls up on the couch, sits next to me, and looks at me and says, okay, Pastor, you can go home now. He was ready for bed. I took the hint. I grabbed my toys and went home. But out of the mouth of babes. So we had just, isn't this been a beautiful weekend? Man, Friday was just a gorgeous day, and yesterday, and today. And we had a very, very good, an awesome Good Friday service. Those of you that were here, we had a powerful, powerful presence of the Lord. And I just want to thank our elder, Brother Caskey, for such a great job with our communion service. And I know they're in Beloit or Janesville having service this morning. And if I look a little bit disjointed, I went in. How many of you have bifocals? That's just you're showing your age. Okay, bifocals, and you get the transition ones. And I've always had transition because I don't like those little lines in my lens. So I went in and I got new glasses and transitional bifocals, and you know, they always tell you your prescription changed. It actually got better. So my eyes have gotten a little bit better as I've gotten a little older. And they told me it may take a few days to adjust to the new prescription. And a few days go by, and I'm just like, I can't get the hang of this. And it's not that hard. I've had bifocals for 20 years. And a week goes by, and I just can't get it. And finally, 2 weeks go by, and I'm like, I told my wife, I said, I think I need to go back over to Lens Crafters before my 30 days runs out, and I can't get new lenses. So something's wrong with these lenses. So I go back over there, and sure enough, one bifocal works one way, and the other bifocal works the other way. They made the lenses wrong. So when I'm sitting here looking, one side, if I close one eye, everything looks good. If I close the other eye, everything goes bad. And my poor brain is trying to figure out which one do we follow here. So it's a little bit, I will get my new lit glasses are in. So tomorrow I'll be able to see straight and I'll be able to read straight no matter which way I tilt my head. So we're gonna dive into this. And if I just lose it this morning and I stop and I look all confused, it's simply because I'm just confused. It's what happens when you get old sometimes, right? So, I know some of you came today just because it's Easter, and that's what you do on Easter, you go to church. A lot of people go to church on Easter. They go to church on Christmas. And those are the 2 days of the year that they are found in church. And maybe you're here today under a little bit of duress because maybe somebody kind of really laid a guilt trip on you to be here today for Easter. You really don't want to be here, but you're here, so you're trying to make the best of this, but you would probably much rather be somewhere else. Perhaps you may have come today to hear the story of the resurrection. When it comes to Easter, we only get sometimes one chance as a pastor, as the speaker for today. You get one chance out of the year for some folks to get the words right. And you want to make sure that you prepare a message that when you speak, you're going to be speaking to someone that's here because they don't really want to be here, but they're here and they're only here one day out of the year, and other people are here every service. They never miss a service. So you have people that have heard the resurrection story multiple times within the last year or within their lives, and perhaps you are here today and you've never really ever heard the complete resurrection story. So one ponders, what words can I say or convey? What kind of profoundness can I speak on today when it comes to the resurrection? On the day that most of us are distracted by the other trappings of the day. As I said, you may be here today, but you're thinking about your new clothes and how is everyone thinking about my new clothes? Or maybe you have on a new pair of shoes and this is the first time that you have worn them and your feet are killing you right now because you didn't expect it to be this type of a shoe. Maybe after service, you're distracted because you know that when you leave here, kids, that there is an Easter egg hunt waiting for you when you get to grandma or grandpa's house. There's candy. I saw one little Roland Waters this morning. The first person I ran into other than Brother Ward Meyer when I came into the building was Rowan and Brittany, and Rowan had a handful of chocolate. She wasn't willing to share that chocolate. That was her chocolate. And some of you are thinking about chocolate right now. Maybe you're thinking, maybe you're the cook in the family, and you're thinking about that ham. Did I turn the oven on? Did I set it right? So when we get home, we have a perfect temperatured roasted ham in the oven. Am I going to walk into the aroma of smelling ham as it fills the house, or am I going to walk in and my oven still be off? It's kind of like, did I turn the iron off when I left the house? They're telling me now a lot of irons have these smart features to them that if it's not used or tilted within so many minutes of it being plugged in, it just automatically turns itself off. So more importantly, I wonder what words of hope could be spoken to those of you that are here, that some of us are celebrating a day of resurrection, but in your life, it's just simply another day like any other day. Perhaps you're here today and it's another day of dealing with the same old problems in your life that never seem to get resolved. You woke up on Easter with an expectation of something different, and yet as your day has played out, it's beginning to fall into a pattern of like so many other days of frustration. All of these things were going through my mind as I sat down and began to prepare for this day, for this message. Some time ago, you may remember my friend Steve Rogers from Elam Tabernacle in Milwaukee came and he preached a message to us, and he preached from this very same passage that I'm going to be speaking and making reference to this morning. And he was focusing on the gardener in this passage. But one thing caught me off guard just a little bit, and that is, as I was reading out of the book of John, reading the passage where they discovered or they came to the tomb, the Bible says, early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. And I just want to read, or I just want to preach to you for a few moments this morning on this Easter Sunday of 2023 on the subject, while it was still dark. While it was still dark. Now, I'm assuming at this passage that John probably wrote this statement to reference a particular time of day. We find this a lot in Scripture where they will talk about the third hour of the day or the fifth hour or the ninth hour. It doesn't refer to that. He doesn't set the time. He just refers to a minor detail to set the scene. You see, it's that first Easter morning after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and things looked very bleak as far as the disciples and the followers of Jesus would go. That first Easter morning, we find as we step into our storyline in John this morning, and I normally never do this, but I just totally spaced writing down my passes this morning. That's how excited I was on this. John 20, verse 1, we'll read this. "And the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb." So here we have Mary Magdala, some call her Mary Magdalene. She had been with Jesus almost from the very beginning of his ministry. She is a key part of our story today. Mary had been with Jesus. She had seen the lives change. She had seen the bodies healed. She had seen Lazarus, perhaps as he was raised from the dead, and she was there to partake of the feeding of the 5,000. She saw the blind Bartimaeus. She saw the blind eyes were opened and the deaf ears were unstopped. She watched the lame pick up their bed and walk again. But on Friday, just a few days prior, she had seen her friend, her rabbi, her best confidant, if I could put it. She had seen Jesus crucified. Nails had been driven through his hands and through his feet, and a sword had pierced his side. And Mary stood there at the foot of the cross, wondering, what in the world is happening right now? She was helpless while he was killed, and her heart was broken, and she no doubt was thinking, as many of the other disciples were thinking, how could this have happened? How did all of this come to be? Their minds were whirling, if you can just imagine. This was the man who had come to save all of Israel. This was Jesus. This was Messiah. This was God in the flesh. And that morning, as she came to the tomb, she came to probably, as Brother Jerry spoke so well this morning, to anoint his body for burial. Her heart was heavy, and in her soul, it was still very dark. You may be here today, and in your soul, you are very dark. Mary was probably wondering, what will I do now? Because you see, the disciples, they were going back to their fishing. Matthew was going back to collecting taxes. They had families, but what about her? Remember, all of the other disciples could go back to their old lives, but Mary, she was the one who, when she first met Jesus, she was demon-possessed, and she was a harlot. She was a prostitute. She sold her body for provision. The Bible says that she had seven demons when the Lord Jesus cast out of her seven demons. She had no life to go back to. She couldn't go back. She had thrown everything she had and she could into Jesus and his ministry. She had lived a life of sin. She didn't have a life that she wanted to go back to. More importantly, what was she going to do without Jesus, her close friend, her Savior? No doubt, I can't imagine the amount of sadness or disappointment or emptiness that consumed her. Her soul was languished in a spiritual darkness. Many of us, we can relate to Mary, because we have had days and where we stand with our dreams and our shambles. Our dreams are in shambles as they lay at our feet. Our children perhaps disappoint us, or a spouse disappoints us and our marriage is crumbling, or we get a pink slip from our employer, or worse still, we have that test that comes back from the lab and we're expecting a negative test and it comes back and positive, and we say, "Why me, God? What did I do to deserve this?" My life was going so well, and now circumstances have plunged my life into darkness. My friends, what we must all understand here today is that it's very easy to believe while everything is sunlight and happiness. We look out today and we have a beautiful day and it's sunshine and we're sitting in a service and it is a resurrection Sunday and we are happy. We have our family and we're ready after service to have festivities and celebrate the day with our families. But what do we do if we are still trapped in a world of darkness? You see, it's very easy sometimes to believe God for when life is good, but when it turns sour, our natural inclination is to feel rejected, to feel guilty, or feel abandoned. You see, anyone can walk in the sunshine, but it takes someone of faith and faithfulness to be able to walk in the dark. But the fact is, no one experiences only sunshine. We enjoy the sunshine. We enjoy the flowers. What does it say? April showers, spring, May flowers. You see, without the rain, without the storms, we don't get the harvest. We don't get the fruit. Our grass doesn't turn green without nice rain. So the fact is, no one can experience only sunshine. And I would remind you that all sunshine and no dark clouds of rain will only produce a desert in our lives. It will not produce a garden. Mary, as she came that morning, while it was still dark, Mary believed in Jesus with all of her heart. She believed that he was the Messiah, that he was God in flesh, that he was the Savior of the world. She believed in him. Yet, she had not thought that it would ever, ever end up this way. She had imagined, as many of the disciples had, that Jesus, just a week prior, had rode into Jerusalem, triumphantly. The palm trees were stripped of their branches, and when the palm trees were no longer had branches to lay at his feet, they began to take off their coats and lay them at his feet. It was a celebration. There was expectation in the air. It was Passover week. Their Messiah had arrived, and the Romans, most certainly, he's going to set up his earthly kingdom, and the horrid Romans will be driven out. And then everything changed. Everything changed. Jesus was taken away. He was falsely accused. He was arrested. He was put on trial. He was convicted. And he was led away and he was crucified. And now he is dead in a tomb. So we find Mary, no doubt, as she walks through the darkness. Maybe she wanted to just go, because perhaps without Jesus in her mind, she was thinking, all of the people are going to think of me as my life before. And as Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night to hide his identity, maybe she was going there because she just simply didn't want anyone else to see her. She didn't want anyone else around. She didn't want to talk to anyone. You see, for her, it seemed that everything in her life, everything to this point, was over. But you see, you have to understand one thing about Jesus. The resurrection didn't stop him. Death didn't stop him. The grave couldn't hold him. Hell had no bound. They could not bind him. You see, it was not all it as it seemed, because for God, Mary's life, even though she felt she was in the dark and it had all ended, Jesus was like, Mary, it's just getting started. It's just getting started. You don't understand something, because as the day dawned and as the fog lifted and her clarity came, she was stood there face to face with her Messiah, with Jesus. And her sorrow was turned into joy. And that defeat that she felt, that heaviness in her heart, was turned to victory. And darkness was overcome by the light. And Mary had a new lease on her life. It was the same for us when we stumbled into this church, perhaps today, that we stumbled in here in the darkness and we're frustrated and our life doesn't have a whole lot of meaning or purpose, and we encountered Jesus. Jesus is in this place today. Jesus is here. So many times we leave him in a tomb, but he is not in a tomb. Mary had a new lease in life, and Jesus was there, whether we can see him or not. Perhaps today you say, I don't know what Jesus looks like. I can't see him. He is here, and he has a plan for your life. And that plan is for you to move forward, even when you cannot see the way forward. 1 Corinthians 15:55 tells us, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? So today, if you are one of those that are here and you are in a spiritually dark place, if you find you can find hope in the darkness. If you want to know if there's hope, I want you to know that it may be dark, but Jesus has risen. Jesus was there with Mary in the darkness on that first Easter morning. The tomb was empty. He had arisen. Death had been defeated. I love how John, the writer of our text today, John had a very different insight into who Jesus Christ was. We read most of the Gospels and they introduce Jesus as a baby, an infant in a tomb, and they go through the genealogies and the past and all of that. But John introduces Jesus as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light, shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. There wasn't enough power and not enough authority in darkness to overcome. So here today, if you're here today, on this Resurrection Sunday, maybe today you're frustrated. Maybe you're broken and you're tired and life's plans. Maybe today isn't even going anything like you had hoped it to go. Perhaps your dreams have all begun to close in around you. And your world is very dark. But I just want to encourage you that Jesus, He is alive. And He is well. And He is in this place. And He wants to introduce Himself to you today. Can we stand? If our worship team can come, and if our altar workers, we have a number of people that want to get baptized this morning. So I just want to encourage our altar team, and if you're looking and wanting to get baptized, if you could come down to the front. Brother Jerry Simmons is going to be taking care of this for us this morning. So if you could come down, and I just want to just have you come down so we can get things rolling. It was a number of years ago, as we closed this service out, I had the honor to visit. I went to Europe with my father-in-law. My father-in-law was in World War II. He was in the 327th Infantry Division of the 101st Airborne. You may say, well, what does that mean? I don't know if you know much about World War II, but they had these glider planes that were pulled behind C-47 troop transport. And they sat in this plane. It was made out of canvas and plywood. It had a pilot and a co-pilot. And once they left the runway, they had a big tow strap. And they would get towed to where they were supposed to land. And they would release a lever. And they would land their plane. And there was no landing strips. They would find fields, roads, whatever they could find. And my father-in-law, that's how he went into war, in a glider. And I was able to go back with him to Europe and go over some of those places that he had been. And while we were there, one of the last days that we were there, we were in Belgium. And we had gone to where the Battle of Waterloo. How many remember Napoleon from history? The Battle of Waterloo. Maybe your mom, when you were a kid growing up, not so much now. When we were kids, my mom would say, son, you're about to meet your Waterloo. We knew exactly what that meant. Dad was coming home, and we knew what the Waterloo was. It's that thing that holds my britches up. And so the French were under the command. This was June 18th of 1815. The French were under the command of Napoleon. And the Allies, which consisted of the British, the Dutch, and the Prussians, which later became the nation of Germany, were all under the command of the Duke of Wellington, which was an English commander. And at that time, Britain depended on a system of semaphore signals to convey the latest news from the battlefield, because right across the channel they could signal. And one of the signal stations was at the tower of the Winchester Cathedral there in London. And late in the day on the 18th, it flashed the signal, Wellington defeated. But at that precise moment of the signal going up, Wellington defeated, and the English population was out, and they were reading those signals, and they read Wellington defeated. And at that precise moment, one of those thick clouds that London is so famous for The cloud began to roll in and blocked off the view of the cathedral. The news of defeat quickly spread throughout the city and the whole countryside. And people began to weep. They began to think, what is it going to be like? All of Europe has fallen and Napoleon has conquered not just the British, but he's conquered the Dutch, and he's conquered the Prussians, and next he's going to lay foot on our homeland, and he's going to wreak havoc, burn our villages. The countryside was filled with gloom and doom and despair as they heard their country had lost the war. But then, just as suddenly as it came in, the fog lifted, and the remainder of the message was laid for all of them to see. And that didn't consist of just two words. It consisted of four words. Wellington defeated the enemy. It took only a few minutes for this good news to spread. And sorrow was turned into joy, and defeat was turned into victory. Today, Jesus defeated the enemy. Darkness became light. Mary came to the garden while it was still dark. And yet, while she was there and it was still dark, she met light. Our world is very dark, folks. We live in a very dark time, a time of uncertainty, a time of frustration and confusion for so many people. Things are changing around us so rapidly. But Jesus defeated the enemy. I'm so excited for all of you that are getting baptized this morning. This is so awesome. God is so good. But I want to open up this altar, this front. When I say open up this altar, it basically means I'm just going to invite, if you need to pray and you would like to pray this morning, I'm just going to invite you to come down here to the front. We want to pray with you. Maybe you're here sick in your body. We want to pray with you. So if you're here sick, I'm just inviting you to come to right over on this side. And our ministers, we're going to lay hands on you because we believe that by His stripes, we are healed. And maybe you're just struggling with life. I want to invite you to come up here to the middle. And we want to pray with you. And maybe you want to get baptized, or you want to know about the Holy Ghost. Brother Jerry Simmons preached an awesome message this morning about the Holy Ghost. That's when the power, when Jesus left here, He didn't leave us. He didn't leave us in the dark, and He didn't leave us powerless. He sent His power. He says, I'm leaving. That's why He had to leave. He says, I'm leaving. I'm with you, but soon I will be in you. That's the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost in us. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost this morning, I just want to invite you to come down into this section and we'll pray with you. We'll get you there. God bless you. We'll let our worship team begin to lead us in worship.
By your grace.
You have
What an awesome, awesome presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. Thank you. It's your first time visiting with us, or maybe you've been here before, but it's just such an honor to have you here. I want to thank you for coming. I want you to have a very blessed Easter, a blessed day. Enjoy it. Just soak it all up, because it won't be long, and it'll be hot, and we'll be complaining, and mowing grass, complaining, and mosquitoes. Oh, yeah. That's just the way we are. Love all of you. God bless you. Thank you to our worship team. Phenomenal job this morning. Our deaf ministry. Superb, beautiful, powerful. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for just stepping up. This is awesome what's happening here, and I'm very excited. So God bless you. We have a lot of folks getting baptized this morning. And we'll get you clued in on the details on Wednesday, but God bless you.